time could watch the World Cup or the Euro Cup or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Like the coverage was from home.
Sounds like a good guy.
He was a good guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
I mean, Tunnel
Then
Bears
why'd you
3.
Kick him to the curb?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good question.
These are questions I don't sleep at night because of.
Okay, we're going to address this in full. On the
podcast,
episode.
100%. Welcome to AE Double Back. That's all staying in. No! We are in Philadelphia on September 28th, 2022.
Have we actually started?
Absolutely. Oh yeah. I don't joke around with this. I start things and that means it's going. I have to put in the theme music afterwards because I can't get it to work anymore. But the point being, we're going to be talking about the Jericho Appreciation Society. We're going to be talking about the Blackpool Comedy Club. And we're going to be talking about Teresa's love life. We're going to dig in.
Comedy,
we're gonna,
the Blackpool Comedy Club is the only club where the stand-ups all blade.
I said comedy club, didn't I?
You did. Yeah. You did.
Oh,
and you know what? I would want to see a comedy club in Blackpool.
I don't think you would. I would not.
Let's set up a festival. Do it.
Oh, God. If we had started the podcast like a couple years later, we would have to call it the Blackpool Comedy Club.
Yeah, we would. I mean, we could technically do it now, but whatever.
We've got a Jericho Appreciation Society celebration. And despite the fact that I hate when Jericho announces they're going to be doing one of these god-awful, like WWE-style talking spots a week ahead of time. Like, next week, we're going to do this. We're going to talk in the ring. I hate it. This turned out pretty good.
Yeah.
We got Luigi Primo.
Oh my
God. Spinning the pizza pies.
When I realized that he was like at the moment, like spinning a pizza incidental to anything, I was quite delighted.
I was like, clearly they listen to the fans. They're giving fan service.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We wanted Luigi. We got Luigi.
And just a sidebar that I forgot to make a note of, but when I saw it, it made me giggle. Near the end there, you can see the only person who's eating pizza is
Anna and Ty.
Yeah, they're just back there just like eating pizza. I'm like, yes, thank you.
Also,
somebody's actually eating the props.
They've got these like velvet suits. Everyone's got these velvet suits.
Yeah.
They don't
look good on everybody. You know
no,
what I mean?
No, but they're not supposed to.
They make them all look kind of dumpy and funny.
I thought they looked delightful.
I mean, I liked it.
I'm not a body shamer like Teresa, but
I definitely am.
This is
if
probably,
you know anything about me.
This is probably why all your relationships end. I'm just speculating here.
I body shame myself every single fucking day, so whatever.
Well, then you're in a toxic relationship with yourself.
Yeah,
you gotta learn to love yourself, Teresa.
Oh, that's such hogwash. Hogwash.
Wait, hold on. I say one like sincere thing the entire goddamn show, and you're like, what is this bullshit? Love myself. Whitney Houston could eat a bag of dicks. She doesn't know what she's seeing.
I guess I do want to say
love of all
that Luigi is like spinning that last pizza a little too late, frankly.
You think so?
I mean, when is that pizza going to be ready?
Never. It is the perpetual pizza.
There was a Sega Omega shirt, which you can get on Pro Wrestling Tees, or at least you could. I don't know if you still can. And a sign that said, "We miss Kenny." I mean, I have to highlight this because I desperately need them to bring Kenny back, please.
Mm-hmm.
I know Anna Jade, she's trying really hard, but like, I just can't stand it.
Here's the thing. Like, she's in a protected place now where she can fuck up. And then the great thing is you can, because it happened immediately, Anna Jay is doing some things like, you people, you know, you're not going to get any pizza. You could tell that the crowd is reacting and she was trying to bounce off that, which, I mean, that's a skill. That is a skill that you have to work at. You don't there aren't people who are just born with that, because mm-hmm. Jericho comes in immediately after. And the way he does it, he's got the presence, he's got the timing. He's just like, do you want pizza? Everyone's, yay, you can't have any. Boo. Like,
that is a master. That was a lesson. That was such a lesson.
Yeah.
Because you're exactly right. I was about to say that. I was like, he just says, you want pizza? Crowd goes fucking insane. Mm. Can't have any. Crowd goes fucking insane. It's the best.
I guess, like, the thing that was on my mind was, like, there's not remotely enough pizza, and there's therefore not, like, adequate verisimilitude.
You're trying to figure out the logistics of a pizza party for a stadium full of people?
No, but that's my entire point is that, like, that hits, like, really hard if there is visibly enough pizza for the arena.
Fair. Like when Britt had, like, all of those hamburgers.
Yeah. Here's this, like, when I, okay, so my old job, my boss, we'd have pizza parties, you know, whatever. And there'd be a shitload of pizza. Well, oh, hold on. No. I meant to say there would not be a shitload of pizza, but it was plenty. It was enough for the office. There's a lot of people in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to be enough for both shifts because there was a early shift and a later shift.
Okay.
And so there was always this, there was this one motherfucker that would pile his plate with like six pieces.
Oh,
like
my God.
A whole fucking pizza, basically.
And what toppings is he taking?
Well, we got all these specialty pizzas. So, like, there was he would have, like, one of each.
One of each,
like,
yeah.
You can't really do that. Until everyone is able to get a slice, you can't go up and get more. You know what I mean?
No.
It's just,
like, the rules.
And I feel like, I connect to him on a level because, like, with OCD you feel like a need for completeness, and
he wasn't that detailed about it, you know what I mean? He might have two of one, whatever, but you know what I mean?
No,
it was
he's like me, because I would just like, I want to try each and every pizza, and this is what I have to fight every single time when I'm, because I understand.
Yeah.
We live in a society that has rules, so I will only take two pieces. But in my heart, I'm eating all of them.
And separate from the rules of society are the basic, like, rules of human health, and and, like, whether or not you're going to suffer, like, dire, like bodily consequences from consuming one of all these specialty pizzas. Like, you're gonna get your eyes are bigger than your stomach. It's not gonna work for you, and you're gonna be the office jerk. And like, no one's going to give you what is it, Imodium AD?
I don't know what the fuck. Maybe Pepto Bismol.
Yeah. Right.
But, like, when I was working on a cruise ship, my favorite thing is to get a, go to the buffet and get a poached egg. I just want a poached egg. Simple pleasures. I don't want to wait in line for any fucking omelets or any of that other kind of shit. I just want a fucking poached egg. And they would have these poached eggs out on little, you know, English muffins or whatever. So this woman, this old woman, took all of them. She took all of them, and they were all on her plate. And her husband comes walking by, and he has his whole plate full of stuff. And she's like, "Here, I got these for you, for us." Aww. And he was like, "Well, I already got my food." And then she was like, "Well, what am I gonna do?" I'm like, "You bitch. This is not how you do buffet.
You take what you
need. But you leave the rest for the thousands of other people that are
okay,
here."
Okay. I'm not going to look. I'm okay. Real quick. Actually, I have to stop for a moment.
I triggered something in Egon. Wow. He feels it. Wow. He feels the same way.
Yeah, I have to wipe his fucking asshole. I'll be right back.
Okay.
3 hours later.
All right. So the whole spiel with the pizzas. We're done with the pizzas.
Okay. We're done with the pizzas.
But we got Daniel Garcia.
Yes. And here's the thing. Here's why I was okay with this entire segment, because it comes out and it feels like this is about Jericho. We're going to celebrate the Ocho. Right. Pretty good catchphrase. You know, like, I'm the champ, blah, 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 blah. But in fact, what really this entire thing is to get over Daniel Garcia.
Yes.
And not that he needs, like, a crazy amount of help because, like, he's continues to show that he's, like, he has, like, some natural, like, abilities and he's clearly working at it. Like, he is doing better than people who have come up, like, more as pro wrestlers than people who have come up as, like, MMA fighters and stuff like that. Like, you would think that he's been on this track all along.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, I presumably it was Jericho who, you know, got him in because he recognizes, you know, this kid is a talent and he is going to be somebody because he's still crazy young. So, yeah, and he's giving him this rub that, you know, he would have done fine without him. But here he's just, you know, elevating him and letting him, you know, work with him. And again, like Anna Jay. Like, she is going to get better. She's going to get real good because he appears to be very giving in that regard.
Oh, like he's always seemed like, so. You know, not that I've been watching him a million trillion years or anything like that, but he, like, in all the time I have been watching him, he seems exceptionally generous and eager to grow what's around him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a guy who got held down, you know, in the early days because, you know, you got your Kevin Nash's and your Scott Hall's, like, wandering around, you know, only almost 7 feet tall and, you know, like throwing these smaller wrestlers around like lawn darts and burying them. So, yeah, he's been through it. And he's like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to help other people. And that, God bless him. He's really good for that.
It's really cool to see people like try to break that cycle, like when there is apparently in people a natural impulse to be like, well, I took my lumps and therefore in order to justify mine, someone else has to get them after me. Yep. Like I remember Taz was talking about like how he like probably all like people like in something like pro wrestling like told his son Hook to do anything, literally anything else, and he didn't do anything else, but the industry changed, like, which is really cool.
And that's one of the reasons why I'm so disappointed in the Young Bucks, because I felt like they were part of that movement of like, let's bring everybody in, let's all be a fucking happy family. And, you know, at the end of the day, they're kind of backstabbing pricks. And
why? What did they do?
This whole Punk thing, like, there's blame to go around to everybody involved. Like, I'm not saying that I'm not pissed at everybody else.
But they didn't backstab
him. Yeah, they did.
How?
They'd been talking shit about him and spreading rumors to the media because he was getting over, you know, and it's their fucking company. This business is so infused with ego that even at the best of times, it's always going to be there. But like the dream is for everybody to, I mean, I don't want to say that it should be like an improv comedy theater, because improv comedy theaters eventually become shitty and toxic and blow up. But like there's a sweet spot in there where people are all working together to improve their craft, to make everybody else look good. And like certainly at this point of his career, that seems to be all Jericho is doing practically. Like, do I feel good about him having the ROH belt? Maybe not so much, but motherfucker has earned it.
But I mean, it's a transitional thing. It makes a lot of sense as a transitional move. I was interacting with somebody on Twitter about that very thing, and I was thinking, well, you know, what I really want is for like actual ROH people to be holding ROH belts, and you know, obviously on their own show, but in the interim. If people like that or Jericho can help like create that propulsion towards a new show and bring a lot of eyeballs to the promotion, like that's a good thing, as long as it doesn't take too long, you know, like ideally there is a timeline here.
Yeah. And fingers crossed, I'm, you know, Tony Khan doesn't make a whole lot of, you know, enormous booking gaffes, aside from, you know, the entire women's division. But I do have faith that it's going to go well. Point being, this all here, this is all about Tony Garcia. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Daniel Garcia.
You need,
wow.
But no,
it's because fucking Soraya later on, she's like, Tony. I'm like, which Tony are you talking about? Tony Khan or Tony in the Ring? Stop
First
doing
of
that.
First of all, that is not about it because that we didn't watch it tonight. We watched it the other day and
we weren't even talking about it.
So.
I watched it today.
Anyways, whatever. So, but okay, the whole point, yes, Daniel Garcia, but then Danielson comes out. So basically, Garcia is getting an offer to join BPCC, blah, blah, blah. And
I was wondering about that because he says basically, like, do you want to train with them or you want to train with us? And then a little bit later, Rigo's like, well, I don't know. I didn't actually say that. So I'm like,
Whatever. The point is, as I wanted to say, is that Garcia then goes on this awesome rant of like, well, let's see, what would be entertaining? You know, would this be entertaining? Would that be entertaining? Would it be entertaining if I, you know, I don't know, just said all this wacky shit? And then he's like, you know what I think it'd be really entertaining is Jericho, if you and your boy Sammy over there and me and Danielson had a tag team match. I was like, that's fucking great. That's what a great way to get there, right?
Yep.
What a great way to get there without conceding one way or the other if he's a pro wrestler or a sports entertainer.
Yeah.
Right? Fucking great. Daddy Magic was angry. This whole thing was so awesome. I loved it so much.
Yeah. And I want to, like we've talked about this before, but I want to, again, like, highlight how fun the Angelo Parker Roman Reigns aping is like, that's like a wild spot to be in of like, I'm the one in our faction who is going to be the Roman Reigns, but it's a lot of fun.
Definitely. Also, a mini thumb for the purple bucket hat.
It's
beautiful. This is beautiful.
It reminds me of when MJF was supposedly with the Inner Circle, and he was giving the gifts where somebody was getting snubbed.
Sammy didn't get a jacket, or he got like an extra small or something.
There's such a joy in someone like maliciously giving a clear like bad gift. Like a bad article of clothing, like that goes on them, and it's like obviously it's the most ridiculous bucket hat. Like you look like a fool,
especially in that fucking purple velvet suit.
Oh my god!
So yes, we all thumb this up because it's fantastic. Yes. We continue on. This normally would be one segment, except that first segment went on for, I don't know, 60-70 minutes. Daddy Magic versus Bryan Danielson one-on-one, which is, you know,
was like,
much fun.
Daddy Magic was all pissed off. Yep. He challenged Danielson, and Danielson says, well, guess what? I was allowed to just pick a fight immediately, so let's go.
Daddy Magic is so good.
He's so good.
I'm so glad that he can wrestle, because like, not only is he absolutely amazing like on the mic, but he's so much fun to watch in the ring as well. So that was a nice treat.
Yeah.
And of course, Regal was already there, boom, plopping down in the announce table, called, just went nuts, called Excalibur like a marshmallow crispy treat. And you can snap, crackle, and pop me anytime. It's just like, it's just getting so bonkers, and I love it.
Well, I tell you what we need is only to be hearing Regal on commentary, but he's like the one person, like, which is crazy, out of like all the people that ever do commentary, he's the one who I want a constantly on screen I just want his head, like only him, like also showing me what his expression is when he's saying this stuff, because he really is going balls to the wall with this stuff, and it's delightful.
Yeah, he is a dude who has paid his dues, earned his stripes, and is just having fun now. Every once in a while when I listen to Dark and I just hear Excalibur and Taz they just have this real low-key energy where they're just, like, fucking around. And it's real fun to listen to. And, yeah, he has a similar but different kind of energy. He's just like, I could say literally anything. I'm going to just come up with the wackiest shit. And coming out of Steven Regal, it's just great.
Mm-hmm. Hey, like, I forget when it was that he says the line, like, whatever it was, like, that's a mouthful, said
said the actress to the priest. I want to pour one out for the poor sound guy who accidentally hit the button on Danielson's MP3 instead of the Ring the Bell MP3.
Oh yeah,
and that's never an easy thing when you're up in the booth and you do that. So
that guy's not getting any pizza.
No, poor
that guy
poor
was
no
an
pizza
intern.
Guy.
And he was moved up to the big leagues, and then he fucked it up. Oh, sorry, man. Buddy.
And you can just imagine, like, back at his home, like, there's a big party, to celebrate, like, his big first night. And he comes in the door, like, his head hanging low, and everybody bursts out and cheers him. And he just bursts into tears.
That's, like, the saddest Charlie Brown when he came. He misspelled Beagle at the spelling bee, and he came home, and no one waited up for him.
This is all very hilarious, but also I legitimately have nightmares about this sort of thing. So
it was a great show. I mean, great match.
It was a lot of fun.
Great match.
I love Daddy Magic. And, you know, we really don't get to see him wrestle too often.
He had an injury, so that's why he hasn't been wrestling for a while.
Oh, that's right. The cage match thing, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
He and Angelo, like, can be, like, more of their own thing instead of, like, I mean, like, they're obviously, like, such an asset to Faction, but, like, they can definitely do their own thing, like, full force at some point.
No doubt. No question.
I thumbs the matchup, though.
Of course.
Yeah. Cesaro came in because Cool Hand Ange was, you know, interfering. The way he picked him up, like he was a goddamn pillow.
Baby.
Like anytime, you know, sometimes you can forget how stupid strong he is. And yeah, that was great.
I mean, when you watch him do his swing, you know he's got some power.
Yeah. Also, Tony Schiavone just slid one in. He's a man's man, is what he called Cesaro, which I don't know if you have seen those bits, but
no.
When William Regal came into the WWF at the time, Vince thought it would be a great idea to get rid of the British thing, and replace it with he's a man's man. They had a video of him like chopping wood and wearing, you know, flannel and the song. Go ahead and look it up. Look up man's man, William Regal. It was more cartoony than you could possibly imagine. And Schiavone just like pop one right in there just for the goofballs.
Great.
I thumb this up.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. We got a Juice Robinson promo thing.
With Moxley and Schiavone?
Yeah, which I middled because it was like, I don't know, 15 seconds. It was actually, there was exposition about like what happened last week. And then like Juice is in there just like, hey, I'm going to beat you up. Shit, man. I want to, you're bringing these guys in and you want people to pop for them. Not everybody watches NJPW. Tell me why I should care. Tell me why why I should think that he's going to beat him. Because if you do this, then I'm going to go like, oh, well, obviously he's going to lose. And I'm going to have less emotional investment in the match. Let me have something. It was too short.
The impulse was good. Maybe they thought, because Finjuice has definitely competed on AEW TV, have they not? Like Juice Robinson and his tag team partner?
Yeah, weren't they? I want to say they were on Rampage or something.
Because, like, I just wonder if they thought there was more, like, inroads made there than was the case, and that they could keep it tighter. But clearly, like, they needed to give him a little bit more, like, up top here.
There's another point, too. I don't remember where, but it's somewhere in my notes, and when we get to it, I'll bring it up. But it just felt like, oh, you're just throwing him out to the wolves, which is a thing that, you know, it's a choice that you make. You know, like, well, if we throw him out there and he gets over, obviously he deserves to be here. But also, if you're trying to tell a story, if you're trying to make engaging television, give me stakes. Let me worry that Mox is going to lose. So, you know, you make your choice. I don't care for this choice.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I think. Yeah, I guess. I thought it was like a better package. Like, even though it was short, I upped it.
Cool. We've got Wheeler Yuta coming out, and
wait, it's an MJF package.
It starts with an MJF package.
Yeah, and then Wheeler Yuta comes out.
Yeah. But it was like a recappy thing. So,
but he cut Wheeler Yuta cut a really great promo.
No, he cut probably the best promo I've ever heard him cut on mic.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It was great energy. Twice in my notes, I'm like, "Ooh, that's good energy." Like, okay, no, this is great. This is great.
Yeah, and then MJF comes out.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's not to the same level as Anna followed by Jericho, but like it felt like Wheeler was, you know, just like pushing it as hard as he could. He was going to cut the best promo and he worked at it. And MJF just comes out and just, you know, shows him how he just does it every week.
But the styles are different. Like Yuta, to me, is coming across with a Moxley style. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And MJF just has his own thing.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I thought they were similar, but just totally different.
It was definitely like a good position that they like Yuta like was in, because like if there's anything that AEW does well, it's like try to exploit, well, I mean, like I guess that like everybody probably does the same thing of like when it's somebody's hometown, they try to use that, but AEW definitely does that, like particularly so that like it was really like it probably made Yuta more comfortable that he was in Philadelphia to do this.
Yeah And Yuta wants to fight right away, and he's about to like go up and attack MJF, but the gun boys come out, the ass boys.
Yeah, they're mixing up the firm usage there. I like it. They had Morrison out last week, and they got the ass boys this week.
And they say MJF's catchphrase, because MJF's like, no, you people don't deserve to hear me say my catchphrase.
Yep.
That was funny.
And there's a lot of great lines in here. You know, like, I'm going to leave you in a pool of blood on Broad Street.
That was awesome.
I'm assuming that Broad Street is a famous street in Philadelphia. And
that's correct.
but like, yeah, it was just all about his energy. You have the audacity to put your hands on Tony Schiavone. You know, some of this stuff is, you know, a little hack. But if you sell it, which he did, it all works. I thought this was fantastic. This is the best I've ever seen Wheeler in this position, and I'm glad he gets to go up against MJF and just sort of like, yeah, work those muscles, work them, and you know you gotta fight against someone who's better than you at it, so you gotta up your game, and he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great. I thumbsed it up.
Same,
absolutely.
We got Sanjay Lethal and Singh backstage, a little bit of Darby talk. You know how we do.
It was like a Darby promo.
This is Darby talk.
Well, I mean, Darby talked like 10 seconds at the end after Sanjay went on for a while, and Lethal's like, I'm going to beat you all alone. And Dutt ends it with like, oh, hey, wait. Come on, man. Let's talk about this. I thumbed it up. It was fine.
I thumbsed it up.
Yeah, same.
Juice Robinson versus John Moxley.
Right.
Yeah, like, here we go. It was a fine match. I feel like their New Japan stuff was probably a little better. This didn't feel as intense as I was expecting. And then also, like I said, you know, they didn't really sell them to me, and the audience clearly wasn't that sold. So, you know, it was a fine match.
I liked some of Juice's hot dogging. You know, I love hot dogging.
Oh, Juice's, yeah, absolutely.
I definitely love his energy. Like, yeah, like the wild man stuff that he does is a lot of fun. Like, I think that, like, there's a certain kind of person who is especially strong at that. But, you know, the moment where, like, you should probably, like, sort of press the attack, but instead you're going to stand back and let out a wild man scream to I guess, hopefully intimidate John Moxley into, like, being a little tentative, which is going to not, you know, like, ultimately that's probably not going to work out. But Juice is still really good at it, so you let it go.
I feel
that. I thought this was a fun match, but it's like I also had no there was no tension in whether or not I thought Mox was going to win or lose, you know?
Yes.
But I still thought it was fun to watch. Well,
yeah, here's the thing. I would have middled this segment if it were just the match.
Right.
But the post-match stuff made it an up.
Hangman comes out and,
they
know,
do the close face thing.
I hate it when their noses touch. I hate it when their noses touch.
You don't like
it
a good Eskimo
me
kiss?
Out.
Really?
Because I'm like, ugh, their hot breath. They're all, ew.
Yeah. No, I feel that.
You know what I mean?
Maybe they both pop desserts.
They spark in the dark. And then MJF is talking shit, so Wheeler attacks MJF. That was great.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. MJF is on the mic up top, he's doing the thing. Uh-huh. Was like, I could cash in. You don't know. It starts talking on the mic, and then the camera just pans, and there's Wheeler standing behind him.
Dun, dun, dun.
Those nosebleed seats are lucky, because you usually don't get wrestlers falling down on top of you up there.
Yeah, that was pretty great. I gave it a thumbs up.
Yeah, I did, because the end part of that was great, and it was a great payoff to Wheeler earlier, so
yeah,
I probably would have done it just for the match, but like the whole thing is great.
Yeah, I liked the match too. Yeah,
I was thinking about like all of the aspects of like when you have the guy up in the like luxury suite or whatever, it makes me think about like, did nobody have that like suite, and is MJF squatting there, or did he buy it, or or like what is going on there? And like also like something that I was just thinking about was like the thing of wearing the poker chip, which seems like not something MJF would do. Like I guess like I was picturing somebody like being like, do you want to wear this? And he's like, no, fuck no, I'm not gonna wear the poker chip.
That would be very
overall,
dumb.
Anyway, it was a good time.
No. We had a Bandido package, which, again, too short.
But Bandido is really great. I got to meet him at Republic of Lucha.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, it was awesome. Anyway.
Oh, that was it. Okay.
That was it, yeah. Story over. Yeah, like, if you thought there was going to be
I was very excited. I was very excited, to say the least.
I just, like, I don't know him well, and you've got the entire goddamn ROH library. Why don't you pull some just amazing spots?
Yeah.
So that I'm like, oh my God, this guy can take
like
him
millions
out
to choose from.
Yeah. He was the goddamn champion of the promotion. But, you've got footage.
Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, like, that's probably the whole crux of the problem is paralysis by analysis. Which match do you pick from? Which moment?
Yeah.
You know, like,
that's
I'm sure you got overwhelmed.
Blarf. I did hear that a lot of stuff had to get changed in the show at the last minute because of the hurricane. So, like, Samoa Joe was supposed to be there. Someone else was supposed to be there, and they had to cancel because they live in Florida, and you know they couldn't make it out. So that sucks. And so I should give
JR.
Some. That's probably why. Yeah.
Shit.
I do want to give some consideration to the production team because, like, yeah, they had the last minute changes, a bunch of stuff got dumped, not everything's going to get done, but they did promo that Bandito would be here last week, so someone should have put together a good package for him at least. So
maybe they didn't think they'd have to do one this week.
Why?
Well, because they did one last week. Maybe they didn't plan on doing a package at all.
They didn't sell me on him last week either, so...
Oh. Well, anyways, I gave it a thumbs up because I was like, yay, Bandito.
I'm middle.
I give it an up as well, but I think I just sort of like instantly perk up a little bit for any like special newcomer from afar.
I guess, but like when you sell a luchador, it's like he's probably the best luchador in the world, and I'm like, cool. We know what Penta is, so you better be at least as good as Penta, or
yeah.
You know, I'm not gonna give you the time of day.
Look.
Well, I mean, like we'll get to it, but Bandito did some stuff that impressed me.
Let me tell you. If Rey Fénix and Penta El Cerro Miedo are standing there and Bandito is with them, and Flamita for that matter, who's four of them, who's the fearsome four, that's a fucking badass. Like, how much more badass does it get? It doesn't. And that was at their store. They promoted him. They have his seal. He has their seal of approval. God, I can't talk.
They probably have his.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway,
we come to a boy. This is a real emotion splitter here because they give the women's division a whole lot of time and a whole lot of face exposure. But boy.
Oh, wait. Look, I want to talk about this at length because really, really, really enjoyed it. First of all, Soraya, her music.
Let her speak.
No, stop. Soraya.
Okay, Soraya.
She says it. She says.
Sorry.
You don't. Here's how to pronounce my name.
I wrote it down.
I actually wrote SUH-RAY-UH so that I would remember phonetically Soraya. Okay.
Soraya.
I'm just going to get around it by calling her Chief.
Carry on.
I love her music. I also like her. I like how she talks to the audience. She has a lot of the women come out. She says, let's have the whole division come out, but obviously it's not the whole division.
It was just the faces.
Just the faces and, you know, mostly the white ones. But anyways, just kidding.
Well, no, because they had Willow there.
Willow and Athena. But the other two girls, I'm like, who are you guys? I don't even know who you are.
I wish that AQA should have been there.
Yeah.
I believe she is not there anymore.
What? Really?
I want to say it was an injury, but I don't.
Oh, shit.
I think they might have let her go.
Damn, dude, that sucks. Loved her. Anyways.
I will say it was poor wording because she's like, let's bring out the whole division. And like five girls come out. I'm like,
yeah.
Ooh, is that the whole division? Yeesh.
Like if anything, it really shows what's lacking, right? So hope, because you know Chris Statlander's not there. Obviously, Red Velvet is probably still injured or something. Well, she's a baddie now. Well, anyways, I can't keep track. All right. So, what's my point? Oh, wait. I hate the bleeps. I hate that they bleep shits now. That really drives me nuts.
That's the network rules.
I know. I hate it.
Yeah. They went too far.
She talked to Tony. She's like, I talked to Tony, so we're going to have a match, but it's going to be a lumberjack match. And they're like, oh, you know, the comment desk later was like, this is like the first lumberjack match we've had with women. And I was like, this is the point of why you guys suck so hard at the women's division. This is a perfect way to get people's faces out there, to build storylines, to create like bonding amongst ranks or whatever, you know, to make it, you know, alliances made or broken. It's so simple. It's so fucking simple. You just have them out there. Anyways, so I'm glad that she did that. If it was indeed her suggestion, it was a match between Deeb and Toni Storm. I fucking love Deeb. I thought this was a great match. Deeb somehow didn't win, but whatever. It doesn't matter. The whole thing together, I really fucking liked.
We're going to split it. It's going to, because the segment before the match proper was also, just like the first segment, it was long enough that, like, it's its own thing.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Saraya comes out, talks about how she's, like, the revolution or whatever, which sounds very Ruby Riot, and I don't know how I feel about that.
Except Ruby didn't say that when she came over.
Yeah, but that was, like, her gimmick before, and so it just felt sort of like, okay, well, you're doing sort of the same thing, but also, what is this revolution you're speaking of?
And
what
does that mean? Was Ruby, right?
Yep. At that point, I was noticing, I was like, oh God, is the crowd not mic'd well enough, or do they just not care? Because she was like, oh, you guys, you love me so much. And the crowd was kind of like,
I thought I heard them pretty well.
I mean, you want to compare that to when MJF and Wheeler Yuta were out there? She says that, like, somebody, one of the production staff is, like, giving her time cues. And was like, I'm ignoring time cues. And I'm like, dude, you are stretching this out. What do you mean you're ignoring time cues? She brings out the division. It was Toni Storm, Sky Blue, Athena, Willow, and there was a blonde woman. I don't know who she is.
There was two blonde women, I thought. And one of them is
Sky Blue, so I recognize her.
Oh.
And then, yeah, they were all behind her, and she was like, there's going to be a change. I'm like, is she going to attack these women? Is she going to turn heel? But then the heels came out. Britt, Hayter, Penelope, with Rebel. And that was the point where I was like, oh, yeah, this division is real weak. If she had not
Rebel's
said...
Rebel's not even a proper, like, part of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. If she hadn't said bring out the whole division, it would have been like, oh, hey, here's a bunch of wrestlers. Here's, you know, a faction with an extra wrestler. Good guys and bad guys. Not a big deal. But saying that, it's just like, oh, God, there's nobody to wrestle.
I mean, they know that's not the whole... Like, Bunny wasn't there. Jade's not there. You know, there's a lot of people missing. TV,
yeah, well, yeah. It's another problem. But, your name rhymes with shit. That was fine. Although it was hilarious because afterwards, the announcers were kind of like, but apparently Taz chuckled real hard because Shivani's like, oh, that popped Taz. He's like the only person there that was like,
That's funny, though. It is funny.
I did love, because you know who got a fucking pop or who got a chant was Hayter. Jamie Hayter got a chant.
We're begging
more so
for Hayter
than Saraya. So
the people, well, because we know Jamie Hayter. She's been putting in the hard knocks for a while.
Yes.
And, you know, Saraya. Now,
in theory, Saraya would be like something closer to like Punk coming back or at least like Edge or something like that, where like they came back and they still brought the memories of what they had done before, and maybe Saraya didn't do that.
I mean, look, when she came out last week, that was a big, genuine pop. And I was frankly expecting more of that and was kind of shocked that it was so quiet.
Well, maybe Philadelphia is different.
Yeah, it could be. I feel like part of it, too, was the promo that she cut was not that great.
No, I thought that, actually. Like, I don't know what it, like, it felt.
It was very conversational.
It felt stilted, or it felt, I don't know, it felt clumsy.
It felt like she was waiting for a response that wasn't there. Because, like, when Punk came out, you know, he was legitimately just, like, leaning back, and the cheers were like, were deafening. And here, it felt like she was expecting it to be deafening, and it was okay. People were happy, but they weren't super charged up.
Anyway, I fucking love this whole thing.
I think it was a great move, and like there are aspects of it that could have been stronger, but I think that they did a good thing in like following, you know, like as you say, if it was Soraya's idea to do that style of match to start spinning off some storylines.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
And Soraya was on desk, so that was fun. She was actually really good with comments.
That was the point where I was saying that, like, it irritated me that she kept saying, Tony, Tony, when there was a Tony in the ring. And mm-hmm. every time she was referencing the Tony who was not on screen, she should have just said, like, Tony Khan. Just say Tony Khan. It's only one extra syllable. And we can keep it clear. Because every time I had to shift, like, realizing she wasn't talking about the wrestler.
That's your problem.
I can reveal some privately learned information. She was actually referring to actor Tony Curtis.
Thank you.
Wow. Okay. No, okay. That's my fault for making the assumption. Yeah, that is on me. I'm sorry.
Jamie Lee's dad.
That's right.
I thumbed down the first part of this. I thumbed up the match.
God.
Interesting. Interesting.
Calder.
If we're splitting, I guess even if we're, geez, I don't know.
I gave it two ups.
I know.
Straight ups.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't wild about Soraya's like delivery of the promo, but I was appreciating a lot of what was going on. I guess I'll split it as a middle and an up.
All right then. We've got the Acclaimed backstage. Talking about National Scissoring Day next week.
Oh, man. How are you guys celebrating?
I'm going to watch AE Dubs.
Yeah, and scissor myself. Obvi. No? Is nobody else scissoring themselves? Am I alone?
No.
Here?
I mean, me and Ramona, I'm hoping to find someone to scissor.
I'll put my finger between her little toe beans.
Yeah, even I see how you like tried to scale it back to be non-sexual. Still a little bit weird.
Whatever.
Bowens is calling them your forever champs, which makes me happy.
The energy, everything they were doing was so fucking awesome. Then yeah. Keith Lee interrupts.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
Swerve is one of the people who was not there because of the hurricane. So I don't know what was planned. It might have just been this, but yeah.
But
I mean, Swerve is fighting the hurricane, so
it could be that there was supposed to be like a whole like confrontation and a whole like in ring thing. You know what I mean? But yeah, that then Soraya had to like vamp or something. But anyways, all I know is Keith Lee points out Daddy Ass's interference. And that was fun, interesting. We'll see what happens down the line, but all we know right now is Acclaimed are going to have like a bunch of matches and like celebratory things next week. I'm not exactly sure what's going on.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah.
I thumbed this up.
I hope they cut a cake with scissors.
Ooh, yes. I thumb it up.
Giant scissors, yes.
The people, like, I swear, it's like either if it's the same fans, I don't know, but fans bring their big homemade giant scissors.
That's how you know you're over, baby.
I mean, it's awesome. It is the most awesome. Like, so many are out there that you could have only brought a single pair, and then a fan next to you brought their own pair, and so you could do the whole scissoring thing together without ever having planned for it. It's that over. Anyway. Thumbs up.
Mm-hmm. Calder. Okay.
Same.
Butcher and the Blade are yelling at Private Party.
Mm-hmm.
Andrade's yelling at them. He says, Jose, talk to Private Party. Matt Hardy comes out and like, oh, we want to get back together.
Matt Hardy has learned his lessons. He wants to do right by them.
He wants to be a good guy now. This is all fine, but I do wish this angle were about Butch and Blade, not just the two of them just being there.
I know, but I thumbs it up because I'm into the idea of Private Party and Matt Hardy again. And I also, the fact that Butch and Blade showed up at all, I'm like, hey, maybe they might fight next week or some sometime soon, hopefully.
Yeah. I middled it, Calder.
It was not for me.
I heard you the first time, Teresa.
Sorry.
Ricky!
Dude, Ricky Starks. Everyone loves their good old-fashioned Ricky Starks. Versus Isom.
Eli Isom. He's an ROH Isom. Guy, I guess?
Yes. Yes, he is.
Look, that guy was really good.
He was fine. I mean, it was a squash match, so it was hard a to squash say match. How good he was.
It was short, and I think that it's bad policy to do that with the ROH guys. Like, I think, like, I appreciate that they are willing to make the choice of, like, well, somebody has to win matches and somebody has to lose them, and we're not going to get wishy-washy trying to keep everybody safe, so somebody is going to get hurt. But in a time period where you're trying to, like, really pump up a promotion, it seems bad to me to squash any of their guys.
I mean, look, the time, it was a squash, but I saw this person like he was really good and is just holding back because it's supposed to be a squash. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's what it seemed to me. But I still love Ricky Starks, so I don't care.
Yeah, I don't like Ricky doing squashes. Generally, if it's a squash, I do want to see, like, someone huge, Wardlow, you know, just, like, running roughshod over somebody. I do want to see Ricky work a little bit because he's a smaller guy. I say that, but I'm sure, like, if he were standing next to me, he's probably, like, 6'4 and, like, 260 pounds. But he just looks smaller on screen, so, you know, I sort of expect him to work a little harder. He does the Rochambeau, and then he jumps on the guy's belly like it's a beanbag. And I will tell you right now, that took this match from a middle to an up, because that was a hilarious bit.
That was really fucking funny.
That's how simple it is to win over the icy heart of Robert Clark Chan.
I'm a complicated man, but I do have some simple tastes, and that'll get me every time.
I gave it a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, like, what's Ricky going to do to not earn that rating?
Just him walking out to his own music and getting all pumped on his own music. Yep. That alone, I'm like, ooh, it's going to take a lot for me not to like this match.
Can he do it?
We got Jungle Jack Perry cutting a promo. And I'll tell you what. This is the kind of promos they should give him. He's got time to, like, work it out and for them to get some good angles and probably to redo it a couple times, you know, and just, like, really kind of nail it, because this was really good. I liked it a lot. He's talking about, you know, like, where I used to hang our tag team titles on the wall. Now I'm going to hang your head. And it sounded like a legitimate threat. I'm like, that, like, Luchasaurus should be worried. So, yeah, do more like this. This is where he's works best on the mic.
Yeah. I agree.
What? Well, it was just like funny that Chan, like, spoke at length about the promo, and you said, yeah. And then you were like, no, oh, this is one of those things where I'm supposed to say more. And you added, like, two additional words to sort of emphasize.
Oh, and what are you adding other than your meta commentary about this podcast?
Nothing.
Moving on.
Thumbs up.
Perfect. Jericho versus Bandido. Here's where I felt like I was expecting fireworks. Just a really, you know, lights down, a big, amazing video, you know, entrance. And they needed a bigger entrance to sell the match, because he just, like, walks out. I'm like, okay, that's a guy. You're not going to win this thing. Which is a shame.
He looks awesome. Oh, wait, are you talking about Bobby Cruz?
No, I'm talking about Bandido.
What?
And his entrance, like, specifically the entrance.
I think he looks so cool.
When you have a big star, a lot of them will get a big, impressive entrance. And it doesn't have to be fireworks, but sure, go ahead and throw them in. The, you know, give him some big thing. They put him out there, and I was like, okay, well, he doesn't look that impressive. I will say that
they could have done more to, like, make it more impressive, but
yeah.
I think he has such an impressive look that, you know, that helps carry it.
I mean, look, the white mask that gets stained red with blood, that's great. Right? No question there.
And his white hat was awesome.
It didn't come across ultimately the way that it did for guys like Minoru Suzuki or Ishii. And that definitely is that's somebody's fault because he should come off like that.
I will agree with that one. Like, it's definitely it's like a dig. It's like they'll praise the Japanese famous wrestlers, but not the famous luchadors who are fucking famous, you know, and fucking amazing. So it's not like he's nobody. It's not like they just found him on the streets of Philly and were like, hey, can you fill some time? You know?
I don't think that they're utterly contemptuous of the luchadors or anything like that.
I don't
think
so either, but there could be some bias there.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Anyways.
I'm just saying it was because, I felt the same thing about Juice. I felt like he was undersold, and I did not, you know, feel any pull, you know, no concern that they would win.
But I was alluding to earlier, if anyone didn't toot Bandito's horn powerfully enough for him, he did it a little bit himself when he held up Chris Jericho for two whole minutes.
Okay, dude. Well, hold on. Okay, I want to talk about this real quick because in the commercial break, he did a one-arm gorilla press, and I'm like, why the fuck did you do it there in picture-in-picture instead of when the screen was all the way up? Because that looked impressive as hell. Mm-hmm. He lifts him all the way up over his head in a military press and then lets one arm go, and then he throws him down, which is a great spot. I think the super long suplex does not look that good because he's holding him, and, you know, great, first 20, 30 seconds, that's pretty impressive. As it goes on, he starts sliding down, and Jericho is, sort of leaning outwards, and it gets to the point where, it becomes very obvious that what's happening is Chris Jericho is fucking holding himself up. He's the one posting off the hip and holding his, the motherfucker's got a core on him. He's holding the rest of his body up, just sort of resting on Bandito's arm. And it looked bad to me. I wanted to see it for 30 seconds. That's super impressive. Throw him over. But as it went on longer and longer, I was like, ew, oh no, stop. No, this is not good anymore. So
I still thought it was fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
He also did this crazy splash from a huge distance.
Yeah, he's got a couple of amazing top rope moves.
I was like, there's no fucking way he's going to do that. And he fucking does.
Yeah.
And of course, bloody mask, awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I thought he was so good. I was like, he should win. He should win. Because Jericho doesn't need this belt.
Yeah.
No, I think it's not... This is what I was saying before, that ultimately it should be someone like Bandito who has it again. I think he'd had it already.
Yeah.
They said, for now, someone like Jericho can do it a lot of good, but it really should fall to Bandito or someone else from ROH. I suppose you would maybe want to play that out until you have the deal come through.
I get the idea that, because afterwards he starts talking about it. It's I'm going to desecrate its legacy. It's going to be Ring of Jericho. I'm going to beat every champion. I'm going to beat every, announcer.
He dirty wins. He does cheaty wins.
Did he this time though?
Yeah, he did.
What did he do?
He pulled Bandito's mask, right?
Well, he did it, but did something else. Hold on. I just closed my notebook because I thought it was done.
I keep pulling you back
Jericho
in.
Jericho wins. It was dishonorably. God damn it. I didn't write down the detail. He did something, though. That was
it may have been the mask, and that's
it was more than that, though. It was more than that, because that didn't really faze Bandito that much. It was something else. Yeah. God, I don't remember what it was. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah. So, like, I get that that's going to be a thing.
Like he whispered spoilers about a TV show Bandito was looking forward to. That's what
rough.
I think happened.
That would be real, real bad.
Threw him off. Dahmer is a murderer. What?
Oh, spoiler alert, Teresa! You didn't have to say that to us.
You didn't have to spoil it for the 21-year-olds who weren't alive when Jeffrey Dahmer was doing that crazy shit.
You can go a little older than that, friend.
You can go 30-year-olds.
I do not remember when Jeffrey Dahmer was. I do remember being an adult when it happened. So, oh God. Okay. Well, that's horrible. Also, the people dying is horrible, but the fact that it was so long ago, also horrible.
I don't want to stress that I do not condone murders.
I don't condone murders.
Especially not multiple cannibal murders. Oh. I did enjoy the destroying the ring announcer bit at the end, and you know, the idea that he's going to, you know, desecrate the legacy. That's fine. So I'm just gonna have to let it be, because I do think that Danielson should have the belt instead of him, or Claudio, and, you know, like,
it'll
make
happen.
It something. But, like, yeah, we don't know when there's going to be a new show, so it's probably not the right time. So, I'm not mad about it. It is what it is, and the match was good, so, you know, I thumbed that up, so there you go.
Yeah, I thumbs this up.
Mm-hmm. Same, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that means then that we have a doing the math. I am doing the math.
Ramona's got a free tummy.
It is a 90% show. It's a must-watch show.
Interesting.
So there we go.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree. That's what the numbers say. I'm concerned now that you're inviting me to question that.
I am just. It's just interesting that that's the case.
I mean, if
there
you're
were
surprised,
so many promos, yeah,
there were. And boy, I did not care for a lot of them. But it appears that
we all did. We didn't talk about the Andrade thing, did we?
Yeah, that was with. Private Party and Butcher and Blade.
Oh, I guess we did. For some reason, I thought I didn't think we, but that was the same thing. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, a lot of things are happening, and you know, we're generally doing okay. So all things considered, yeah,
yeah,
good stuff.
I hope everyone out there is safe, and our friends in Florida and our listeners in Florida are safe.
And honestly, like, whether someone is our friend or listener in Florida or not,
in general, anybody, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, I think there is another state in there.
I feel like there are a lot of people in those states that I don't want to be safe, and I hope the wind takes them away.
I don't want to get into a case-by-case basis of who I hope is and isn't safe from hurricanes,
you know,
because
winds,
I think that can be a slippery slope.
Winds don't really go in with surgical precision, so it's hard to say.
As a wise man once said, kill them all, let God sort them out.
Interesting.
Who was that?
Bye,
was that
everybody.
Was that Dahmer? Said Dahmer? Wow. Is that John Wayne
Gacy? It was Ed Gein.
Ding dong, ding-a-ling, ding-ding, dang-ding, dang-ding-doom. Ding, 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 ding.